Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want it.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
The Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashes make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value, then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the debt.
They want it.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. It is a big idea. A new world order.
Oh, yeah, folks, that's what's coming in the world order. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America, according to William Jefferson Clinton. As read from a White House memo by Rush Limbaugh on the air shortly after the Oklahoma City bombing, during the great attack upon talk show hosts like me who tell the truth. And New World Order, that's right. The Florida Supreme Court, just a few moments ago, threw the law in the trash can. And their decision was for the will of the people, democracy, socialism. Yep. And in doing so, they broke the law, blatantly crossed the boundary of the separation between the balance of power of the judicial, the executive, and the legislative branches of the state of Florida, and have thrown the whole thing now into federal court. That's where it's going. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what the Florida Supreme Court ruled just a few short moments ago. Listen very, very carefully.
I want to discuss some technical matters first. The opinion will be posted on the website, both our duplicate websites, immediately after I finish this statement. The doors will open for people to receive paper copies at that time as well. I'm now going to read to you a statement that was authorized by the entire court. The court has issued a 42-page opinion this evening in the presidential election cases. In its opinion, the court has reversed the 2 orders of the trial court. It did so based on long-standing rules that govern how to interpret a general statute containing conflicting provisions, as is the case with Florida's election code. In dealing with similar conflicts in the past, the court has consistently held that the right of the people to cast their vote is the paramount concern, overriding all others. To achieve this goal, the court holds that amended certifications from the county canvassing boards must be accepted by the Election Canvassing Commission through 5 p.m. on November 26 if the Secretary of State's office is open for the special purpose of receiving amended certifications. If that office is not open for this purpose on that date, then the Elections Canvassing Commission must accept amended certifications until 9 a.m. on November 27. The opinion of the court is unanimous.
The opinion of the court is unanimous. Yep, we have unanimously, the seven of us, struck down the law of the state of Florida. We have unanimously struck down the balance of power between the legislative, judicial, and the executive branch of the government of the state of Florida. We have ruled on behalf of the mob, the great, ignorant, unwashed masses, as Karl Marx was fond to describe them. And we have brought democracy closer to reality, and in so doing are helping to bring into the world the totalitarian socialist New World odor. Phew! You guys smell that? Oh, I think a skunk died under the courthouse in Tallahassee, Florida. Oh, does it stink? Oh, my gosh, shut the window. Somebody, please, throw some mothballs into the basement. Can you believe this, ladies and gentlemen? Well, they have certainly made their place in history as traitors, treasonous, socialist, Marxist scum. Who would have thought it? I believed, truthfully, that with the world watching what they were doing, that they would adhere to the law. But they couldn't do that. And, of course, they didn't do that. And we are one step closer to the destruction, total destruction, of freedom in the world. You know, a lot of people think that if you give the mob power, if you give all the power over to the people, then you have the ultimate freedom. I'm telling you right now, you have the ultimate enslavement. You are on the road to a swift transition to a dictatorship and ultimately to communism. Read Marx, read Lenin, read Mao, read Stalin, read all of these people, read Castro. You know, they made no bones about any of this. This is how it's done. And we're well on the way. Phones are open, 520-333-4578. You know, I bet a lot of you listening to this broadcast didn't know that this just happened. But it just did. I figured that they would take at least until tomorrow. But they didn't. They just rendered their decision just, you know, a few moments ago. The decision was finished, final, and recorded on tape here in this studio about 4 minutes before we went on the air. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah. I was just listening to that also on the air. I was as disappointed as yourself in the fact that they couldn't follow the law. The court, it seems, is in the pocket of the Democrats, so...
Either that, or as they're as stupid as they seem to be during the
deliberations.
The deliberations, the arguments yesterday.
Yeah, it's just incredible.
I mean, yesterday they appeared to not understand their own statutes, their own constitution, their own law.
Yeah.
Either that, or they were intentionally pretending before the television cameras in order to justify this ruling.
But, you know, the ironic thing is that they're perfectly willing to throw out 1,400 military absentee ballots selectively, which is a clear infringement upon rights, and yet they're willing to turn around and create votes out of no votes on the part of idiots.
Well, it's clearly a partisan election.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
You know, I have a quick joke for you.
You know what this amounts to, really? It's a takeover. It's a political coup.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a political takeover, a theft of the presidency by the left-wing Marxist socialists in the United States of America.
Absolutely.
It's a coup.
But, you know, it's rather to be expected that that type would, of behavior from these people. So.
Well, yes, and it's according to what Marx taught. He taught that anything that was necessary to achieve their goal was justified, and that the end justified the means.
Unfortunately, that's their viewpoint.
He preached and taught in his writings that it was okay to lie, cheat, steal, murder, anything whatsoever, as long as socialism won out over all other ideologies.
And where people think, I mean, I wish all these people that believe in socialism had just gone to the Soviet Union and stayed there. You know, I mean, it was the ideal state. Why didn't they go there in the first place?
Hell, I wish they'd just go back and remember their childhood when they were so eager to get out of the house and on their own, because what they were living in was socialism. Daddy took care of them. Mommy took care of them. They got a bed to sleep in, and they got, an allowance, and they got food, and their mom and daddy sent them to school and paid for their clothes and all that kind of stuff. That's socialism. But they had to give up their freedom, and they had to be in by a certain time every day, and they had to do their homework, and they had to do the chores, and they couldn't, be free, and they couldn't have the car when they wanted to it. In some cases, they couldn't have the car at all. That's socialism. You see, they forget that. They think that socialism under Big Brother somehow is going to be different. And just as they sought freedom then, they will seek freedom again.
And it's ironic that the media, which advocates it, is always the first to be axed when they finally take over.
Yeah,
because they're recognized as traitors.
And isn't it incredible that they're the ones who scream freedom of speech the loudest?
Right.
And under those kinds of governments and regimes,
they wouldn't have any at all.
There's no freedom of speech. That's correct.
You know, when the Democrats were eating the little bits of the computer cards.
The Chads.
I realized that it had shattered.
Wait a minute. Which Chads were they eating? Were they eating the hanging Chads, the swinging Chads, the pregnant Chads, the dimpled Chads?
It shattered my confidence in their manual election, in their manual recount.
Well,
shattered.
Isn't this incredible? What if one of these Chads, claimed that it had been raped?
I know, but see, Democrats are jackasses or mules, right?
But would there be such thing as a Chad's choice, and could we then perform first trimester abortion on that vote? Could we do that?
Well, see, my
or should we allow it to progress until it becomes a pregnant Chad? And then, if so, during the last trimester, would there be such a thing as a
late-term abortion?
A partial voted abortion.
I mean, there needs to be a hue and cry to resurrect the military votes, which were clearly a violation of the rights of the military. To throw those votes out on the basis of a lacking postmark, I mean.
Well, military votes don't have to have a postmark, according
to the law.
Of course
not, but the Florida statute that says, well, to avoid fraud and corruption, we're going to require a postmark, and then give no leeway or alternative for the military when the military comes without it.
Well, unfortunately, the Constitution gives the power to the legislature of state to determine how the electors are to be chosen. And therefore, it's a state matter. And all these people are saying that they're violating the federal law concerning federal elections. That's baloney. The Constitution gave that power to the legislature of the state of Florida and every other state.
Right.
So it's a state jurisdiction, not a federal jurisdiction, and the federal law does not overrule the state law, period. If the Constitution had not given that power to the state legislature, then it would be a different matter. Now, in the case of a vote within a state for a representative to the House of Representatives of the Congress, that's a federal election.
Right.
That's a federal election.
And the Senate, now that they've perverted the Constitution,
that's right.
Direct elections of the senators.
That's correct. That's a federal election. But the elections for the electors, for the states that will go and vote Now, once the electors are appointed, then everything beyond that point is federal, which means states cannot tell the electors how they must vote or not vote and cannot hold them responsible or accountable, nor can they try them or throw them into prison or anything else because they vote their conscience or whatever.
Right.
But before that occurs, it's a state matter, and it's very clear that the Constitution for the United States of America empowered the legislatures of the states to decide that, and so it is not a federal matter. Federal law does not apply in those instances, only in the instance of voting for a member of the House of Representatives or a member of the Senate, period. Only those elections which are federal in nature and, you know, are governed by federal election laws and by the Constitution. So, that's that. So, you know, they don't have any recourse as to whether or not all of this stuff is, you know, how the state of Florida does it. It's up to the state of Florida. But if there are clear violations of the Constitution for the United States of America or constitutional matters concerned, which I have yet to discover, then it'll go into federal court. And I'm here to tell you right now that that's where the Bush team is going to take it. Regardless, they're going to invent reasons to take it into federal court.
Yeah.
And that's where it's going. You can bet your boots there'll be a suit filed in federal court within the next couple of days by the Bush team.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Well, have a good evening.
You too. You too. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yeah.
This is Michelle Moore from Oklahoma.
Well, hello, Michelle.
It's bless your heart.
About time you called.
Now, don't take up with me.
I've been waiting for a long, long time.
Let me turn down my radio. Can you hold just a sec?
Okay. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. This is Michelle Moore, folks, the author of Oklahoma City Day One. Go ahead.
I did not even know if this was still the number or not.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been in the hospital recovering from a pulmonary embolism.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I was 2 more minutes and I would have been, you know, another patriot dead at the age of 46. But survived that. And in light of the Supreme Court ruling, federal Supreme Court ruling a few minutes ago, I thought, well, if Bill's doing, I ought to call.
Yeah, you know, a long time ago, I sort of buried the hatchet and appealed on the air for you to get in touch with me because I had lost all of your contact information and tried your old email address, and it didn't work. Tried to go to your website, and it wasn't there anymore. So.
No, the website's there. The email address is the same. And of course, I have not heard any shortwave in
If your website is still there, it has changed to the point where I did not recognize it as being your website at all.
Oh, well, nothing. No, I don't know what you're looking at. Doesn't matter.
Believer.com, right?
Telepath.
No, yeah, last time I knew it, it was Believer.com.
www.telepath.believer. No, what is it? telepath.com/believer.
That's why. See, before it was just believer.com.
No, never.
Yeah, that's all I ever plugged in. That was in my bookmark and everything.
Well, I can't help it. Well, that's what it's always been. We've never changed it. We've always had the same one. But that's a non-issue.
Okay.
What has been on my mind since I got out of the hospital is some subjects that we had talked about a long, long time ago. First, that the last election that was the last real election that ever would be.
Yes.
And then the matter of the underground.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't wait until it's too late to organize those things.
No, not at all.
Now, am I correct? Have I been correct in thinking that your underground resistance groups will support the militia on the field?
Yes.
And that they are the people who may not necessarily have the physical capability or the strength or the training or whatever.
That's correct.
To go out and do the hard stuff.
That's right.
But can provide safe houses, medical care, food, directions, intelligence, eyes on the scene, how to get through town safely.
That's correct.
Remember the four shows we did on that?
I have run them about four times just in the past year.
Really?
Yep.
I think people ought to think about that. Do more than think about it.
Well, they should have long ago, as I and you and many others have recommended, organize and be ready. And certainly, you know, the people that I'm in touch with and am affiliated with have been doing that for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And here in this valley, I can tell you that we are so prepared that the feds don't really, you know, except for DEA and their drug operations, which are fully supported by the citizenry around here, the other federal agencies are very reluctant to even come near this place. Because they're followed, they're surveilled, they're watched, they're not wanted. The law enforcement officials in this valley and around in this portion of Arizona have informed them that they're not welcome here, and you know, not even to bother, and so they don't. And
yeah.
and people can do that everywhere if they're just together.
Well, and that was something else I was going to bring up and ask your opinion about. You know, we've both spent a lot of time doing on the internet with people everywhere.
Yeah.
And it began to occur to me as I saw these different events happening in different places around the country and people getting stirred up about this issue or that issue.
Well, you can remember a long time ago when we were fighting an uphill battle with everybody. That's not so today. I mean, people... even people who were dead set against everything that we stood for are now coming back and saying, you know what, I'm starting to see what you guys were trying to tell us, and where I may not agree with everything that you say or stand for, I certainly realize that there's a great cause for alarm. And so those things are happening. I don't know if you've noticed that where you're at, but I have sure been getting tons of feedback in that regard.
Well, I do notice it. You know, people who would not give me or my issues the time of day are treating me pretty nicely now. Not in terms that I want them to be nice to me, but in terms that maybe there's something that we've been talking about all this time that is worth listening to
mm-hmm.
and taking action on.
Yeah.
The thing that disturbed me about the little communities on the internet that I was seeing is that they are not localized. You got somebody who puts out a call for help in Missouri, but the only people that person knows that know that person live thousands of miles away, spread out all over the country, and the only way they're connected is by a little internet email group.
Yeah, the people in Missouri are calling for help to the people in Virginia, and that's the wrong place to be calling for help on a local issue.
Well, right, and particularly with some of the militia wannabes out there, that think that they can cross state lines.
And you can't do that.
You can't do that.
No.
And so
the militias are state militias,
yes,
until it becomes a civil war, and then they can unite in an opposition to the common enemy in order to restore constitutional Republican government. But until then, they remain state militias. And they
right.
can't be crossing lines and all of these things unless their intent is to start a civil war.
Or unless they are so ordered by their governor in conjunction with the request of a governor from another state.
That's correct.
But the whole thing is that the internet, as wonderful as it is and as useful as it has been to us, is kind of deceptive in nature in that it really makes us think that we're all a lot closer than we really are.
Yes, and I've noticed that. But that's just one of the deceptions of the internet,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's a big one. I mean, people are used to talking to somebody, you know, like instantaneously across 3,000 miles, and they get the impression that they're neighbors, and they're not at all.
Well, and they may not even know the person who really lives next door to them.
Yeah.
But, you know, and if somebody's banging in your door or causing a problem on your property, it better be that next-door neighbor who comes to your aid.
That's correct.
So in terms of getting back to where I was going with all of this, with the underground issue, and I'm thinking primarily like some of the elderly that I know who are really strong patriot people
mm-hmm.
and just don't quite have the physicality anymore to get out and do. They're looking for ways to serve, and they're looking for people to hang out with that are trustworthy. And you don't know anymore who's trustworthy. But whatever happens, it's got to be local.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, we're really on the edge. We've been on the edge for so long. I feel like I've been living on the edge, you know, for the past 5 years.
Well, I think the edge is beginning to crumble now.
It is. It's beginning to sort of creep down the hill.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about civil war. I don't know what to expect. I'm not hearing here a lot of inflammatory talk. Have not seen a lot of outrageous actions. There was a little demonstration Saturday before last. Downtown Norman, some Gore supporters got out there and waved some signs around. You know, maybe 25 of them.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a major deal. Didn't even really make the newspapers. I just happened to be there and see that this was happening. And I thought, well, who's going to be the first side to bring it all down?
Well, if Gore gets in the White House, I mean, that's an easy question to answer. It will be Al Gore. All you have to do to know that this guy is going to become a tyrant is read his book.
Well, yeah, I know.
And he's going to perform some tyrannical actions that will inflame people to the point that all it will take is the proverbial straw on the camel's back to incite full-blown internal insurrection, which will become a civil war.
When my daughter and I were watching that Supreme Court announcement a little while ago, she just looked at me and said, well, which hell are we going to? And I just thought, well, it's kind of that kind of a choice, isn't it? You know, and I remember you always teaching people that the militia has to maintain the moral high ground.
That's correct. They can't have the support of the people, and there will be no underground support if they don't.
That's right. And the one thing you can be absolutely certain of is there will be no media support.
That's right.
It will be demonized everywhere. So it has to be almost unspoken respect.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't necessarily want to publicly come out in support of it if you're in a hostile territory.
That's correct.
But somehow or another, people need to establish their communications and work out their little wagon wheel groups and find out who their good people are and their long suits and their capabilities and who can do what.
You know, it's not going to be as difficult as people think, because if you look at this huge map that they've been providing us on television,
right,
that shows who voted for Gore and where they live and who voted for Bush.
Well, hey, we got the territory.
Yeah, we will control the territory that voted for Bush, and they will control the territory that voted for Gore, which is, as I have always said, will be the major population areas.
Well, and that's kind of half the battle there, too, when you're talking about guerrilla warfare, because it's never the intent of guerrilla warfare to hold territory.
That's right.
You know, so if you're already in it and it's already non-hostile, that's half the problem taken care of.
Oh, boy, you can say that again.
And then
it gives you a base of secure operations to go and do the things that guerrillas do.
When you're facing a really, I think this is a real crisis situation, there are a lot of positives in this to be aware of, and I don't really feel like people ought to be freaking out. You know, it's not freak out time yet. If you're freaked out, you can't be thinking clearly and level-headedly, and they're going to have to keep their wits about them so we don't blow this. But if there was ever an opportunity for getting everything back, you got to do it before it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, almost too late for that. But it isn't all gone just yet. You think it's all gone already?
Well, we're very lucky in the fact that we live in a country that is so huge that it's absolutely impossible to occupy it. And so it will never be all gone in every area of this country.
Right.
No matter how far gone it is, there will be large expanses of the nation where we control ourselves, and there will be very few, if any, occupying forces that will have the real power to actually exert their will upon the people in those areas. There will be other areas where the exertion of power and the will of the enemy will be overwhelming, and thus very difficult to resist. But resist people must, and resist people will, because that's the nature of the American people.
Well, there's only so many bad guys.
Yeah.
And a lot more good guys. And the good guys need to get organized at the local level and know who their people are. And if they can't actively participate in a frontline situation, should that be called for, they need to be ready to help with food and medical supplies and shelter and directions and intelligence and communications, non-mainstream communications.
Yep.
Old-fashioned code, if need be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it needs to be being implemented, should have already happened, but it needs to be being implemented now while there's still time to freely talk about it. We don't know how long we'll be able to freely talk about anything.
Well, you know, we did a vast series of broadcasts for the express purpose of teaching people what they need to do and how they need to do it and when they need to do it. But you know what? In retrospect, I think we began those broadcasts much earlier than maybe we should have. But we've run reruns over the years, and just in this past year, we've run all of the ones that you and Dave did, and a lot of the ones that I did. And I think we're going to have to, you know, just, I think not just this broadcast, but others, you know, and there aren't too many others that are really concentrated on doing what they should be doing. They're more concentrating in spreading rumors and panic and instilling hopelessness in people. But the ones that are, we need to start that campaign all over again, I think.
Yeah, it really needs to happen. You know, at the time, I too questioned the timing of what was being taught. But there was a handful of organizing type people with the ability to organize and to hold things in their minds longer than 5 minutes at a time, for whom that was extremely beneficial. And the information was so good, and the things that were taught and the training that was offered was so right on, that even if they remember a tenth of everything that they were given, it's got to benefit them in some way.
Sure. Plus, if they learn anything at all, then it expands the base of educators that are available to be able to teach others as we go into a much tougher period, because a much tougher period is coming.
Yes,
and this Supreme Court ruling tonight just about guarantees that Gore's going to walk into the White House.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's all over for Bush. And people who don't want to accept that are just kind of dreaming, and it'll be a real unhappy awakening. And I've always felt like it was better to make your preparations and have it together and then be thankful that you never have to use them than to find yourself caught short and wish you'd done something when you had the chance.
Yeah, like, clicking, you know, wishing you were over the rainbow, and when you get over there, wishing you were back home.
Whatever, you know. So
that's a good metaphor, I think, for what people get themselves into. They get into a state of wishful thinking and fantasy living, and you know, there comes a point when they wish that they were back in reality from which they had escaped, because that's really ultimately what they have to deal with.
Well, yeah, there's no getting away from reality. It's there. It has to be dealt with. It has to be handled. And the main thing is to not be overwhelmed by it. You know, pressure is always going to be there in one form or another. It's just a matter of how we handle it. Either it handles us or we handle it. And when it gets really intense, a person may need to just step back and say, now, wait a minute, let's reassess and find out, are these pressures self-imposed? Are they governmentally imposed? Are the expectations that I have unreasonable? Can a human do this? You know, and just find balance in life so that you can function without being constantly freaked out. Because pressure is a reality, and it's not going to get any better. There's just no going back.
And you became quite an expert on that pressure, didn't you?
Oh, it laid me low with pneumonia for like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wore my body totally out to where I just couldn't fight off any germs anymore. And laid in feverish delirium for about 2 weeks, and then could hardly breathe or talk for about a month and a half after that. It was a very, very hard physical time. It's amazing how stressful thinking is.
Well, you're right on with that.
It was much more stressful than getting out and hiking 20 miles in terms of the wear and tear and gray hairs that it'll give you.
Maybe that's why not so many people engage in that activity.
Oh, God, I don't know. Well, anyway, I just thought, you know, I have no idea if Bill is doing these days, and I got out my little black book full of all of the phone numbers and addresses and all this sort of thing, and just thought, well, I'll give it a call, and I had gone to the website to see if the show was still on. I mean, you got to understand, I've been, like, totally out of touch, not with my local people at all, but keeping an extremely low profile, and it was really necessary to do that here, particularly when we started really digging into, oh, Bill, you know what? I'm going brain dead. I can't think of the guy's name. The person who claimed to be the Gary Hunt lookalike.
Oh, yeah. I
can't think of his name.
Well, I just went brain dead, too. I can't either, but and I was just talking about him to somebody else not too long ago. But anyway, there's people out there that know who we're talking about. He was the guy that that was photographed with the other guy with the transmitters in their hands, walking away from the Alfred P. Murrow Federal Building just moments after the explosion took place. Gary Hunt.
Well, the one who claimed that he was the lookalike and that it wasn't Gary Hunt. As soon as that whole investigation began really moving, it became just really dangerous to live here.
Well, it's been dangerous to live anywhere if you were engaged in anything to do with what actually happened there. I mean, the moment that the FBI discovered what's his name, Timothy McVeigh and Michael Brescia had come to visit me in the research center in St. John's, just, you know, before the turn of the year in which the explosion occurred, and that we could absolutely identify John Doe number two, the whole world came down around my head and shoulders, and I was ultimately forced to send my wife and children out of the country to save them from persecution and prison. And there are warrants out for my arrest, and my life is in danger every single moment. I was named in a White House memo as the most dangerous radio host in America by President Clinton. That was read on the air by Rush Limbaugh. And so I know what you've gone through, and I know what I've gone through, and I know what a few other people have gone through that have dared to stand up and try to expose what really happened in not just Oklahoma City but other places as well. It's extremely dangerous for patriots in this country who have the courage to stand up and tell the truth.
Well, and the thing, too, about the underground is you have to not be known. To really be effective, you've got to just be every man, every person, not instantly recognizable as anything or anybody.
Well, that's the definition of underground. I mean, I would never be a member of the underground.
No.
I am a member of the forefront in what might be called as the patriot leadership and propaganda machine. And by the way, folks, most of you have no idea what propaganda means. It just means furthering your own cause. It doesn't mean lying, although it can be lying. But on this broadcast, we don't engage in that. But we do engage in furthering our cause, which is constitutional Republican government and freedom for all peoples of all religions and races and creeds and points of ancestral origin and, those kinds of things. But that should be a given, and people should understand that underground literally means underground. And, you know, it should be brought out at this point while we're talking about this that people out there listening, there are three really good sources of information that you can draw upon. One of the best that I know of that I had very personal experience with is the Viet Cong in Vietnam. The Viet Cong were the military civilian volunteers who fought on behalf of the communist North Vietnam in South Vietnam. And they could accurately be called the Vietnamese resistance against the American invasion of their country. We invaded their country to exert our will in what was really a civil war because one of the sides was communist. And it really wasn't any of our business, regardless of what many of you may think or not think about the whole thing. Another one is the French resistance in World War II. And, you know, I had another one on the tip of my tongue, and it just evaporated into outer space.
Well, the Polish resistance was really effective, and they even had set up their government in exile.
That's a good one, too. Also, there are some good books on the Jewish resistance in the Warsaw Ghetto.
Right.
And those people really, really had it tough. So if you want to know how to survive when everything in the world is against you, you might want to check those books out, too.
Yeah, take advantage of history. Well, I don't want to keep your other callers from being able to get in.
Well, that's okay.
Bent your ear here quite a while.
After all this time, if you wanted to take the whole program, be all right with me.
Well, I know when we start chatting, we just chat endlessly. Anything on your mind?
No, except that I'm very happy that you finally did call. I tried so many ways to try to get in touch with you. I lost your address. I lost your phone number. And you know how I am about jotting things down and trying to keep little bits of paper organized.
I've seen the piles of paper, Bill. I know the story.
It doesn't work. And I don't know how I got your website all screwed up, but I really believed that it was believer.com. And I kept going there to try to find you, and it was some Bible study group. But I knew that you were a Christian, and I thought, well, you know, maybe you changed your website into that. And
no, the website essentially has remained unchanged for about 2 years. We haven't done a thing with it. We've been too busy with other stuff, and I've been really ill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been hanging on and just trying to keep the family together and keep everybody alive. Yeah.
And I'm absolutely amazed that nobody in Oklahoma told you that I had made that appeal on the air.
Who would tell me?
Well, I figured that you'd still be in touch with, like, Danny, Route 66 Danny, because he listens to the broadcast all the time.
That's a story I need to tell you off the air.
His mom always listened to the broadcast.
Oh,
and
his mother
passed away. Yeah, he called the other night and told me
just
about that.
Just about a week or so ago. But, yeah I'll have to talk to you offline about some of those things. No, I haven't seen Danny in a long time. And
so you've just been out of touch with everybody.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, no wonder.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, I haven't.
I thought maybe you were just still pissed as hell at me.
No, I was underground.
Okay. Well, I'm not pissed as hell at you anymore, so.
Okay. Well, it's fine. We didn't need to be pissed as hell in any case. And I thought it was kind of silly, but.
Well,
it's history now.
Yeah. Well, it is history. But I think, you know, initially, I don't think it was silly. I think those things do matter, whether they're on a small scale or a large scale. I think, you know,
I think we just had a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, I think so, too. But be it as it may,
it's
a long time ago.
Yeah, and not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And I never really did expect it to be the last time in the world that I would ever speak to you. But you know how you can be. Sometimes it's better just to stay out of the line of fire while things cool off a little bit.
Well, that's how I survived, my dear. And if I wasn't this way, I'd have bit the dust a long time ago.
Oh, I'm not faulting you for it, Bill. I don't fault you for anything, okay?
I'm a survivor and a fighter. And
I know.
That's what's going to get us through the hard times ahead. That's what's got me to this point. I would never have I've reached this point otherwise, and I realize that, you know, that grates on some people, and some people don't understand it, but I would never have survived, I would not have lasted, I would not have accomplished anything if I didn't have this single vision and this will to survive and the will to win at all costs, and that's what's got me through it, so. If it steps on some people's toes and hurts some people, you know, I'm really, truly, within my heart, sorry, but it's not going to change. I just won't make it, you know, for the next year, and that's the truth. I've had some very close calls, and sometimes when just within myself, I just didn't have the will to go on, and somehow something deep inside me, you know, keeps pushing me onward, and I don't really understand all of it, but that's the way it is.
Well, you know, stay true to your principles. Stay true to your spiritual roots. You know, when we have nothing else, We've got our spiritual roots.
Yeah.
People have to be motivated by something.
Yep.
And whatever gives them strength is what they're really going to need.
That's right. When this is all over, we can all sit back around the fire and, you know, forget about it.
Tell
lies and, and you know, toast each other and be mellow and forget about all of the pushing and surviving and all of that kind of stuff and hopefully just love each other. But until then, we've got to fight this battle.
Let me ask you one other question here.
Sure.
In one of the discussions that we had long time ago, I guess this probably would have been like on your back patio when, that friend of yours you knew in Hawaii was there.
Bob
Swan.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the, I guess they were computer models of the struggle to restore Republican constitutional government.
Uh-huh.
And all of the computer models, is this correct, that all of the computer models showed that the Patriot cause would win, but it would take 10 to 15 years, and we would have reverted back to a more primitive time by then because of the damage to the infrastructure that resulted?
That's correct. Technology would suffer the most. We would go back to a time of an agricultural-type society, a self-sufficient type society. It would take many years to rebuild any kind of technological infrastructure where long-distance telephone lines and things like that would become feasible again. But at the same time, the model shows that we're not ever going to go back to anything that really was before. It's going to be some kind of something like it, maybe an improvement on it or something close to it, or something that incorporates things that we've learned, but it's not going to ever be exactly the same.
No,
and history tells us that anyway. It couldn't possibly be.
Right, and the trick is making the change without totally reverting to anarchy.
That's correct.
Because, you know, there are some people out there who are really heavily into an anarchist cause. I can't espouse that.
No, well, if they're sincere in that, then we'll end up fighting them too.
Right.
Because we have to maintain somewhere in the middle. We have to maintain some type of constitutional republic under the rule of law, not the rule of the mob, and not the rule of any kind of dictatorship. And because that's what works the very best for free people, and people have to be individually responsible for what they do.
So if we can hold out for 10 to 15 years and live an agrarian, self-sufficient lifestyle, we have half a chance in hell of coming out on the winning side.
Actually, I think we have a pretty good chance because the enemy is going to be deeply rooted in technology.
Yeah.
And once that technology begins to fall apart around them and they find themselves in control of large population centers and large populations that they have to feed and take care of and furnish water to, and we're in control of the countryside from where all of those things come from, they're going to be spending, at least half of their time keeping down rebellion from within their own territories, much less trying to come out and deal with us.
What's your opinion about the national move to putting all of the emergency services on the 800 megahertz system? They just got done passing a bond issue or something for millions of bucks to bring that about here.
I think it's wonderful because it will make our ability to monitor their communications and keep track of what they're doing much easier than it is now because they're all on so many different frequencies and using so many different types of communications that it's a nightmare. I really prefer that they do that.
Well, that had sort of been my opinion as well. Of course, it means we got to retweak all of our radios, get some new gear.
That's the easy part.
That's the easy part, yeah. But apparently, I mean, they're doing it here. I guess they've done it in a lot of other major cities, but it's a national push. Do you know how close they are to having that totally nationalized?
No, because it's being done by and large across the country on a local effort, and it's not really some big national effort where they have a deadline to meet and everybody is working toward it. They're doing it in different areas at different times on different schedules with different budgets and different funding and all that kind of stuff. So it's not something that we can adequately even guesstimate, really, but we know that ultimately it's gonna be reality.
So even if a person's area has converted to 800 megahertz, it would still do them well to keep their old list.
Oh, yes.
Of the alternative frequencies and have the ability to access those.
Yes, because, you know, if they have any smart leaders at all that aren't totally bureaucratized, ultimately one of them is going to say, hey, this is defeating our purpose and they're monitoring everything we do. Let's get over on some of these other frequencies. And, you know, and I'm talking freely about on the radio because they're not stupid. They already know these things anyway.
Well, sure, of course they do. I mean, there's no secret about that stuff.
Yeah.
It's publicized on the front page of your local bureaucrat newspapers.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all real interesting, very interesting. And I guess in terms of holding territory, everybody's got their own little plot and everybody's interested in their own backyard. How much of, when you think of the red and the blue map, right?
Uh-huh.
How much of what I consider the friendly territory is now like federal property?
It doesn't matter. They can't occupy it, and nor will they have any interest in doing so.
Well, I was wondering why the big move, because if things go to hell and fall apart, there's not going to be anybody guarding Yellowstone National Park.
No,
if they've got an uprising in Cleveland.
No, it's a psychological thing. It also gives them an opportunity to destroy roads and to destroy wells and destroy cabins and places of shelter that are in the wilderness that the militia would be able to use. They've been filling wells in national forests and in wilderness lands and places where there are not very many people, so that we're denied those sources of sustenance, so to speak. For many years, the National Forest Service has been burning cabins and destroying places of shelter in the national forests. They're also destroying roads that go back into the wilderness, which is okay with us because the roads will only benefit them. They're not going to benefit us. We don't have armored tank columns, nor do we want any.
This was going to be my next point, is if they go in there and destroy a bunch of roads in the national forest, that just makes it harder for them to follow our guys who may be hiding in the woods.
That's correct. But you see, they don't think that way. They think that denies us access to the forest. They are so stupid in those respects.
They don't know us very well, do they?
No, plus they're little yuppies who've never been out of the beltway who think that nobody can get in there without a car. They've never been to the forest without a car. And they've never, ever, ever even attempted to sleep anywhere that, you know, where there wasn't a cabin. Don't you understand? You have to understand their mentality. They don't understand.
Well, we'll take advantage of the high-tech while we've got it and always keep low-tech at the ready.
Yeah, well, we must be expert at low-tech.
Absolutely.
And we must be perfectly willing and able and unhesitant in destroying high-tech wherever we find it, especially communications, and depriving them of the only thing that they know how to operate.
Oh, that'll be one of those top on the list items of things that have to be taken care of first.
That's correct. And then we must be able to inflict maximum casualties because none of the people fighting on their side are dedicated to our love or are willing to lay down their life for that side. They're fighting for a paycheck and a promise of a retirement after 20 or 30 years. And once they see the casualties mount to the point where their likelihood of ever reaching that retirement and enjoying it is wiped out, you'll see that they will no longer have a fighting force. They will be totally demoralized, and we will win at that point.
Well, amen. What can I say?
Well,
a lot of things to think about and a lot of little seminal issues for future conversation.
That's true.
Well, I'm going to let you go, Bill.
Well, that's good timing because we're out of time.
Oh, well, all right. God bless you. Talk to you later.
God bless you, too. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Michelle Marie Moore, and I'm so glad that she called after all this time. Those of you who don't know it, we had a falling out one time when, it doesn't matter what happened, but she felt that I had done something that sort of had betrayed her trust, and I felt that she had done something that had betrayed my trust, and there was a big rift for a long time. And at some point, I guess about 2 years ago, I forgave her and announced on the air that that I had done so and hoped that she would call me and that all was forgiven and come back to the fold. And some of you were listening to that broadcast, I know, and called me and asked me about it. And finally, she did. So, thank God. God works in mysterious ways, and I'm glad that He works, mysterious or otherwise. It's good for me and you and Michelle and all of us. So, be that as it may, one of the things I also wanted to talk about tonight was whether any of you went to looked in your Bible and found that Jesus had said, quote, "I will rule over the affairs of men," end quote, as that guy last night on the called in claimed. I went immediately to my concordance after the broadcast last night, looked up all those words, and could not find any reference to any such thing that Jesus had ever said. I've read the entire Bible from cover to cover at least 10 or 12 times and do not remember having ever seen Jesus ever having said anything like that ever. And just to make sure and give the caller the benefit of the doubt, after I'd gone through my concordance last night, I began reading the New Testament from the beginning, and I finally finished it this afternoon. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, I read the New Testament from cover to cover between the time of the end of the broadcast last night and late this afternoon, and I did not see or read or find any place where Jesus ever said, quote, "I will rule over the affairs of men," end quote. If I am wrong, I want somebody to call me and tell me and make sure you have book, chapter, and verse so that I can go find it, because I can't find it if it's there. And I really tried, because I don't like being wrong. And last night, I was sure that I was right, but there's always a possibility. So I went and looked, and I still can't find it. In fact, I read the whole New Testament, again, from cover to cover, from beginning to end, all of the books, all the chapters, all the verses, from the end of the broadcast last night until late this afternoon, and I didn't stop until I was finished. I catnapped a little in between that time, but not much. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Poo and Allison. I love you.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Throw out your arms. Things can fall faster. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, send us a fax.
Get out of this house. Serve your judges. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want it to hold. Down to the doorstep and do what you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, the mighty founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and Clinton saying take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar's right, Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation. Order. Crisis creation. Incite black and white. Program agitation.
Don't resist! You're surrounded! By the UN in white and blue, the ATF, the men in black, from the One World Order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS.